For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. The Score!
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that, and then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best, and I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability, and so I think that's kind of the big thing, is just lean on the guys around him, be instinctual, let those wild plays happen at the right time. I mean, we saw it in the preseason a little bit. This can be important.
Well, we'll see. I think Caleb Williams would hear that and just kind of smile and think, all right, okay, let's see how this goes. He is not included in these tiers of quarterbacks quite yet, and I wonder exactly where he's going to burst in. It is that time of year. It is a marking point on the calendar as we head toward football season. You may say it is a way to understand that the NFL season is soon to be upon us when Mike Sando's Athletic piece comes out about ranking the quarterback tiers. And he joins us now, Mike Sando does. He's at Sando NFL, senior writer at The Athletic. He's on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hi again, Mike. How are you?
It's good to be here, and the season is close. I guess now that tiers are out, we can go ahead with week one.
Mike, I know this isn't so much your area, but not only is the content that you are a part of compelling, but so is the way The Athletic put this together. Really nice, like, animated infographics and drop-down menus and graphs and a lot of visual aid to back up your discussion and seeing who dropped one tier to another, who raised and why. And I feel like that was just as important in telling this story as what you were able to do.
I am so glad you said that. I'm going to get a clip of this and share that internally, because I'm so thrilled with what we've done along those lines the last couple of years, because this is my 11th year of doing this, and it has really grown and blossomed. And I feel like that effort to make it more user-friendly, easier to jump around, easier to contextualize, I agree. I think we've improved 1,000%, and I'm looking forward to see what we come up next year to make it 5% better.
Yeah, I do love a good user interface, and it does really illustrate how the argument can be made for a lot of quarterbacks' recent success or maybe why something happened. And I think the definition of the tiers has kind of also evolved over time. And you can see visually where people fit in. So that's really cool. I know we're going to talk about it all, but I just wanted to establish that first because it is a lot of fun to look at.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, let's dive in. What jumps out to you, or where do you want to go?
I'm mad about the Lamar Jackson thing. I think he should be in tier one. And I understand that maybe his last game that he played last season in the playoffs might illustrate a concern there, but I still think that he is a tier one quarterback. So tell me why he's not.
Yeah. Well, I think, look, he's got 23 tier one votes. So the only people that got more than that were the three guys in tier one. He's right. I mean, like, three votes away from getting in. And as I collected these 50 ballots from, you know, the GMs, the head coaches, the coordinators, for a while there, he did have a majority of tier one. So I thought he might make it. He's right on the edge of it. And you're right. Probably the last game doesn't help him. Here's what I've learned in doing this over the past 11 seasons. No matter how great of a dual threat you are, if you are going to be measured in that top tier to some degree by how well the people in the league think you can fare when all the running and run game of your team is stripped away, and defense to that some point too, how comfortable are you? How proven are you when you just have to sling it for the whole second half, throw after throw after throw, and beat us that way? And Lamar Jackson unquestionably has grown as a passer. Last year was an amazing leap forward, I think, for their offense. And that's why he got more tier one votes than he's gotten in the last few years combined, right on the brink. So that's where he's at. I think if it would help him to do better in the playoffs, for sure. He has a 2-4 record in the postseason. I think his passer rating's like 75. And we've seen some of those games where, hey, a tier one quarterback might have thrown him back in it, or at least had a shootout with Mahomes instead of getting 10 points. So, yeah, he's the number four guy in this thing. That's the distinction. A lot of people, even in the league, disagree with the fact that he just misses that cut. You know, so it's close. It's close. And you hear, like, one of the quotes in the piece was, like, leaving out an MVP of the league, you know. And my pushback on that is nobody said, you know, I really like Mahomes, but he was only seventh in MVP balloting last year, so I have some reservations. You know, the MVP is a great award, but there's no criteria. And we do have criteria in the tiers, and you can disagree with it here or there, so he should overcome it anyway. But that's where it's at. Top four quarterback, only three in tier one. He's super close.
Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen in that first tier. Then it's Jackson, Stafford, Herbert. Aaron Rodgers, interestingly, still at seven. And I'm wondering how much that is grading this year's Aaron Rodgers, or if that isn't a body of work. Because there are some, and I know you talk about the tiniest sample size, there are some who said, even in the plays, the four plays, whatever, was before he got injured, there were people saying, ooh, he looks slow or different, or even, dare we say, old. I would probably bet the under on Aaron Rodgers as far as where he ends up, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think you make a case either way, and that's why he got votes in four different tiers. If you're putting him in tier one, you're saying, you know what, this guy's been a tier one forever. If he's healthy, he's tier one. If you're putting him in tier two, you're saying, yeah, he was tier one, but I mean, the guy's coming off a major injury, new team, playing on turf every week, and we haven't seen it for a while. I'm going to downgrade him. And then if you take him below that, you say, you know what, I saw some decline at the end of there in Green Bay. Didn't look as good. Now comes to the Jets last four plays. Like you said, it wasn't like he was, you can't judge much on four plays, but he didn't look amazing. I think he's not done, but on the downside. And so, you know, it's going to be one of the great mysteries solved this season. Does he play a whole year and is he good?
If we're talking about ranges of some of these votes, the other name that jumped out at me and I thought, oh yeah, he is in tier four. But Anthony Richardson of the Colts would be a tantalizing sort of over bet here.
No doubt. So tier four is either not enough information, an unproven player, or a veteran who ideally would not be the full season starter. So you get two types of players in tier four. You get Gardner Minshew, right? I mean, a really good backup who the Raiders are going to start this year, but how long is he going to play? And then you get guys like Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Bryce Young. They've played. I want to have them in the poll so we can discuss them, but they're getting a ton of not enough information tier four votes. You're right. If you look at that tier, who has the best ability, who has the highest ceiling? Mm-hmm. And it's by far Anthony Richardson. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce Young or even Will Levis did enough to move into tier three next year. But if you had to say which of these guys could make that huge push up into tier two, like a CJ Stroud or Jordan Love did, you've got to then be betting on Anthony Richardson's talent and Shane Steichen as an offensive coach who seems to know how to design an offense for him and did a great job with Jalen Hurts, who has some overlap in some of the things he can do. But there's a lot of concern about Richardson's ability to stay on the field. We saw it last year, and that is really the thing that held people back from anointing him a little bit early.
Yeah, I am excited to see what Richardson can do, and especially with the pedigree of his OC. So I feel like that is an excellent combination that stands to help him. I will say that for tier one, the criteria being a tier one quarterback can carry his team each week and the team wins because of him. I will still argue in favor of Lamar Jackson. I will do that.
Yeah.
But I also think that I think that Justin Herbert is one of those players, too, where when people talk about him, the numbers say he's elite, but there's always a skepticism there. And I want to know if there was any discussion as far as having his new head coach in L.A., how that was going to affect him.
People think that Jim Harbaugh is going to be good for the Chargers and that culturally they'll take a big step forward, and that could help Herbert too. They'll have more of a vision and identity of how they want to play. People do wonder, though, you know, are we going to go to a heavy run offense here with a quarterback who can sling it all over the yard? I think Herbert was in tier one last year, fell out of it this year. And when you don't have team success, there's a cumulative effect of that a little bit in some of these evaluations, I believe. But to me, it's easily explained. They're a bottom five defense since he's been there. Mm-hmm. Not just second half of the league, bottom five. So contrast Herbert with Lamar Jackson. Different players, but both very talented. Both you would draft early. Both you think you could go deep in the playoffs or reach a Super Bowl with. Lamar Jackson's had the best support from defense and special teams of any quarterback in the last 10 years. And so he's got wins 80% of the games, partly because he's excellent, but it's way easier to clear a 3-foot bar than a 6-foot bar, right? Herbert is jumping over a 6-foot hurdle because he's bottom five defense. So it's harder to have the team success. You're a 500 quarterback. People wonder, is something missing? And it may just be that, yeah, an average, at least, defense is missing. Because when you look at all of these quarterbacks, or almost any quarterbacks in history, Mahomes is really one of the only ones ever who has gotten the championship level, won Super Bowls with a bottom half of the league defense even. All these other guys, Tom Brady, Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, they had great defenses. So that, to me, is one of the number one things I take into account in trying to say what's missing from a player. If they got a super bad defense, that's why Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl in his career. That's why Drew Brees does. They didn't have those defenses. It's hard to overcome.
Our guest on the Bernstein and Holmes show on this Friday with Layla Rahimi sitting in is Mike Sando, NFL senior writer at The Athletic. And I know, I'm imagining every Bears fan who is listening to this interview is screaming the same thing in their car. Where do the rookies come in here? How do these GMs, these personnel directors, these coaches, how did they, were they asked, were they allowed to talk about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy and the rest?
So I do not include the rookies in the poll because it would just be a rehash of the draft. And also, really, there's not that many people who've studied all the quarterbacks. If you weren't going to draft one, you just get a lot of people who wouldn't have a truly informed opinion on all of them. You'd have some. So they're out of it. But I think I can say this. Definitely the most excitement is around Caleb Williams. And when I put together another follow-up article this week where I took all of the quarterback tiers results and plugged it into the schedule to see who had the toughest, easiest schedules of opposing quarterbacks, Patriots had the toughest. I then had to pick where I would slot in Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix. And I thought, usually, even when Mahomes came into this for the first time with one career start, he goes into tier four. But I thought, you know, that would be selling Caleb Williams a little short. And so if you look at the quarterback tiers, I think right around 20 quarterbacks are legitimate starters in the league. And really, there's 20 guys in the league that make $25 million or more a year, I believe. And then after that, the next guy's 12 and a half. So right around there where Geno Smith is, Derek Carr, Mayfield, is sort of the bottom of the veteran quarterbacks. And I decided for the schedule study, I would slot in Caleb Williams there. Now, do I think he's going to be better than that? Yes. But realistically, you know, in the first season, let's let him prove some of it. But that seems to me like he's going to be, I think he's going to be a good starter. I'd be surprised if he's not a good starter in this first season. And then for the other guys, Jaden Daniels, I think I put him about where Anthony Richardson is, a little lower, you know, and then I slotted in Bo Nix a little bit lower than that. So there's no doubt that Williams is the one people like. I think they like Jaden Daniels next. And then you get some division. There's really conflicting opinions on Drake May. And so in some of the people that I really regard the most are skeptical on him a little bit. So later than that, you're betting on fit, right? If you're betting on Bo Nix because of Sean Payton, those sorts of things.
There are 50 panelists. There are 7 general managers, 8 head coaches, 12 coordinators, 12 executives, 8 assistant coaches, and 3 involved in coaching and analytics. I wonder how eagerly these are returned to you. Are there a couple guys who like can't wait to fill this out, and you know their ballots are going to come in ahead of everybody else? Are there people that you have to say, like, you have to bother them 4, 5, or 6 times to get it from them? And do you sort of know the reputations that the voters have at this point?
Definitely. You definitely get a feel for doing this enough. It's not the same 50 every year, but you get a feel for when somebody starts. A lot of times I'll do these in person or on the phone. Once somebody tells me like the first 7 quarterbacks, I have a good guess of some of the other ones, like the scale. You can kind of see where they're going with it. You get a feel for that. Most guys do like to talk about things that are interesting in the league. And so one of the things that really liberates me and frees me in visiting with teams is working on these types of projects. They're fun projects. I'm not going into a team and pressing them to try to get some nugget about a player or a contract or things that they're always trying to protect, right? There's no sort of a tit for tat. My currency is not, hey, give me some dirt on this team and then I'll write nice things about you. That's not what it's about. It's, hey, here's some interesting ideas. What do you think? And then we have a conversation. And then I'll ask, hey, like in that tier one thing, that peer pass component thing, should that still be in there? Has the game evolved to where, you know, running is more valued in this? And we'll have a great discussion about what are the criteria and really interesting. And I find most people in the league really enjoy interesting discussions. So I got no problem doing this. I cap it at 50. It usually takes me a couple months to do because I'm doing some traveling and getting ready for summer vacation. But it's not hard for me to do at this point with the relationships and trust that I have around the league.
All right, one more tier question if we can, because it involves the division, and it's Jordan Love jumping 2 tiers with the Packers. What did you hear about the growth he has and his potential, especially I think probably the latter half of the season last year, and then your impressions of just what he was able to do overall?
I thought it was overwhelmingly even more positive than I thought. Usually in the quarterback tiers, there's like a delayed reaction to success. It takes a while. You know, you might come up from a tier 4 if you had barely played before, but I thought all the reviews on him were skewed positive, just about most of them. So some skepticism of, hey, look, he's still going to have some ups and downs. There's a lot to prove. He had even some bad games down the stretch. I think they had a tough one against Tampa Bay, the playoff loss, that sort of thing. But there was a lot of people that weren't overly high on him coming in, weren't sure the Packers had made the right decision drafting him while they still had Rodgers, who nonetheless now have positive things to say about him. And there was even kind of a little bit of a wow factor with him. I think that's what stood out to me. They feel like this is somebody who does have a high ceiling, who could push high into tier 2, maybe threaten tier 1 someday. Whereas there's other guys in tier 2 who are good players, you know, a Jared Goff or Brock Purdy, but there's not as much wow factor when people play them. So I thought that was probably the most encouraging thing for Love, with the caveat of you can't anoint. You still can prove it. He's still going to have ups and downs. He's young. They're young.
Mike, before we let you go, when you mentioned you get to talk to these 50 people about things that interest and excite them, what was of note to you? What is there anything sort of NFL fashion-wise that was catching your ear about what is exciting all of these important NFL people?
Well, all kinds of studies. I mean, I'm working on one that I'm probably going to run in the first 3 weeks of the season on trends and the way the game's been heading over the last couple decades. I always share, like we were talking about the defense and special teams component of team success. I've got a pretty cool like little study that I've done over the years showing which teams have done the best job with their long-term starting quarterbacks of being good on defense and special teams, and what are the common traits of those teams. So we'll sit down, you know, if I sit down with a GM or somebody in a front office, a lot of times they're very interested in that. You know, it's good research. And then I learn a few things from them and add it to the next, you know, add it to my knowledge base. And then you know, maybe next offseason I'm working on something differently. But usually those are great ways to get into conversations and really learn. That's what I love about doing this, is just going in with kind of a learning mindset. I don't know everything. I'm not coming in there to tell them who the best quarterback is. And when you have that mindset, you're going to learn a lot, and hopefully you get interesting stuff. You share it, and then you pick up two more things, and you go somewhere else, and you pick up one other different thing. And by the end of the off season, you feel like you're ready to go, and you're smarter than when you were when you started out.
You know, we all are after reading this, not just this year, but each year. And we appreciate you taking the time to come talk about it, Mike Sando. Thanks.
Thank you. Great points you guys brought up, too. This is one of the good conversations. I appreciate it.
We appreciate that.
Nice of you to say. That is Mike Sando, NFL senior writer at The Athletic. There's a big game in town tonight, is there not?
Lamar Jackson can carry his team to
win. She's not going to stop. But he can.
There's a lot of opinion based off the last playoff guys. I read it.
It says can on occasion carry his team
to a win. But that's the criteria.
I know, but the tier one is they can do it every game.
Nobody can physically do it every game.
Well, Patrick Mahomes had an average ranking of one.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has also lost some games here and there.
Yeah, but nobody put him in tier two.
But that's...
50, and not one person put him in tier two.
I think that Patrick Mahomes deserves his own tier.
Fair! Yes. Yes, he does.
But he's S tier.
But the idea that Herbert and Lamar Jackson are no longer tier one when they've proved that they can be, like, why are you punishing Herbert for a bad defense? We know what happened there.
He explained. I thought it was well explained,
too. He did explain. Right. He did a great job.
Big game in
town. I'm mad
at
the 50.
Big game here. We'll talk next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I saw the replay. I look really soft. It wasn't that bad at the time, but I heard. So sometimes you just need a second to give yourself a second. If you ever sprained your ankle, it just kind of stinks for a little bit. So I was good. They're like, you want to go in the back? I'm like, no, please, just tape right here. Let's go. You gotta keep going. Get on with the game. But.
That's Caitlin Clark. What a remarkable force of nature she has been, not just as a player, but as a draw, as someone who has leveled up an entire league because of what she's done. But don't tell that to Angel Reese, because they have developed, or those watching them and those who cheer for the Fever and the Sky, respectively, have created what now has blossomed into some kind of rivalry. I heard Annie Constable, who was on the station earlier today, saying the media doesn't really make the rivalry, the fans do.
They've been doing that since they were in college together.
And says that the fans are going to react in a way, if they're booing and cheering, that the reporters are just reporting on what they see and hear, and saying that a lot of the hostility directed toward one or the other is coming in either one of these buildings.
Yeah, this has been going on a long time, at least that part of it. But I think you're seeing more now than ever in the pros that they also have two different skill sets. Angel Reese's numbers rebounding have been outstanding. And what Caitlin Clark has done is, not to lower her expectations at all, but this has been expected. We expected greatness and we're getting greatness. Like we're seeing somebody really use their rookie season to their advantage, refine their games, and really lean into what both of them do best. And that's been a lot of fun to watch.
I think tonight's game is some sort of record ticket price already for tonight. But the truth is,
Alex Kuhn is going.
I'm not surprised. A lot of people are going, it's a tough ticket.
That's a flex. It's like buying a bag of avocados these days.
Why? Did avocados get expensive again?
We'll talk about it later because it's going to derail the rest of the show.
Okay.
The point is, it's a heck of a ticket to get, and I'm excited to see that this is going to be a game that is, it's a great time to have it. Holiday weekend, there's no NFL, like, all eyes are on this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And apparently, since the Olympic break, Caitlin Clark is averaging like 23-7-5. I mean, that's ridiculous.
The rookies needed the break the most, right? Like, we talk about the rookie slump in the NBA all the time because of the amount of games. And to have a whole month off for them, I think, has been used to their advantage. Sky are 1-4 over their last 5 games. It hasn't been good. They've got injury issues. I think Kennedy Carter was out in the last game because of health and safety protocol. We know what that could mean. So I think you're going to see a great game out of Caitlin Clark. And if you like rebounds, then Angel Reese is your girl, because she's been absolutely crashing the boards. It's really nice to just see both of them play to the skill sets that they have.
Yeah, and look, if you're really just talking ball, Caitlin Clark is a better basketball player. And I mean, I think the rivalry is great. I think Angel Reese is fun and interesting, and it's great that they can both matter and both be important, but let's not get silly here. Caitlin Clark does things that other people have not done before. And if you're valuing skills, the stuff that Caitlin Clark does is more valuable than rebounding.
She's leading the league in assists per game, Caitlin Clark.
And it's the kind of assists. And it's the other things that Caitlin Clark does beyond what shows up in the box score when I've watched her play. She's a really good screen setter. We see her coming off of screens, but some of the stuff that they have run has been screen the screener action. There have been things in which she is involved to get her free, where she is an initial screener, and she's good at it. And she's become much stronger on her feet. I think she's gained some good upper body strength too. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks different, and that's going to help her in getting free for her shot. This is a high compliment. She's great at pushing off.
Yeah. No, you need
she's
to be
great at it.
Yeah.
And it's at the pro level, being able to disengage from contact. And there's a lot of contact that goes on in that league, because you don't have the vertical component. It's all more of a horizontal component. So that's where you got to create your space. And it's hard to do. So there are big, strong bodies out there. And I have seen her over the... And maybe you're right. Maybe getting that break for her was very helpful.
Yeah, and Angel Reese talked about it too. She jokingly said, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to be looking forward to that next year. But she then said immediately, I know that's not coming. But for the rookies especially, and this rookie class that I feel like is so examined, as we know, it came at the right time. But again, for me, and you and I both love basketball, I think it's just really rewarding to see players turn into the athletes that you thought they could be, and to see the both of them become better versions of themselves in a rookie season is exactly the goal.
773 texter says Reese is a lot like Dennis Rodman. And I think it's a pretty good comparison. It's not perfect, but I was thinking about, people don't pay to watch a rebounder. Nobody pays to watch people grab rebounds.
Maybe you and me.
But Rodman, Rodman was different. Rodman was a show. He did it differently. He knew he did it differently. And truth be told, during the time Rodman was on the Bulls, he sacrificed some of his once great defense to chase rebounds, because that's what people came to see, and he knew what people came to see, and he knew what his teammates wanted. He was still probably a wash as a defensive player. He wasn't a negative defender. He wasn't the dogged defender that he was with the Pistons or with the Spurs, because he would throw a hand up and they would go and get into rebounding position and people would watch him box out and he'd tip the ball to himself. But there were a lot of times where Karl Malone and others were getting a little more space to shoot that shot because Rodman was so quick to leave to get rebounding position. I don't think that's an insult at all. Angel Reese, to me, her game reminds me of Andre Drummond's game.
Yeah. I mean, just spacing, determined, consistently trying to get to the place where you need to be, where you think that ball's going to go.
Big, long arms, and a knack for reading the carom of the ball.
Yeah.
That is a skill. That's a repeatable skill.
And that was exactly what I was thinking about when you were talking about Drummond. When I said spacing, that's what I was referring to. I love the way Dennis Rodman described the triangle offense, because you could just tell, like, that was his love letter. Like, we make it a meme, and it's a lot of fun to joke about, but the way he saw it is what made him so good in it.
Sometimes I talk to the guy, I didn't know if he could write his name in the ground with a stick. And then you talk to a coach who'd say, yeah, no one picked up that offense faster. And he, after one practice, he knew the 3, 4, and 5 spot.
Do you ever know people who they're better, like helping somebody else study for the test makes them learn the material better? That's
absolutely
that example for me.
Absolutely. There's stuff I still remember helping my cousin study for med school exams.
Yeah.
That I have no business remembering. He'd say, well, I have a mnemonic for remembering whatever it was, the cranial nerves or something like that, or how the homunculus sets up for where on the brain certain sensory areas are. And I was like, okay.
Studs' face right now is all of us. But yeah, if you, from the department of there's room for all of us, I always think about how helping somebody else study for a test and just made me learn the material better. It was like a win-win. Not to totally slam the brakes here, but while we have some time, I know we hadn't mentioned it today, but the death of Johnny Gaudreau is just appalling. And I'm sure you've probably heard about it by now. It was happening when I was getting up and getting ready for work. And it's just really upsetting. And I just wanted to take the time to say that, of course, we acknowledge it happened. We haven't talked about it a lot on the show. We had a bunch of segments, and that's not to say that what happened didn't matter. It absolutely did. But, man, it's just super upsetting. And for him and his brother, at such a young age, and he was one of the just top American stars in the game, and the future was just so absolutely bright, and to have it be reportedly taken away so cruelly. Many reports saying a drunk driver
at their sister's wedding
in town in South Jersey for their sister's wedding. It's a holiday weekend, guys. Take an Uber, take a Lyft, take a cab, call your friend.
And hug your kids and hug your family members.
The best outcome in many times is no outcome. Preventative. Heartbreaking. I'm sorry to take such a turn there, but I know as a show we needed to talk about it, and just absolutely upsetting. It's upsetting no matter who is a victim.
We'll do something fun when we return. We have a couple of old baseball players who...
really misjudged a segment yesterday. That's really what happened here. it was a colossal failure that my teammates really saved me out of with their authenticity. If you want to know the truth...
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Callers 6 and 7 of The Score contest line right now, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to see our live show at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville from 10 to 2.
Chicken fingers.
Tuesday, September 17th. Oh, I'm all over him.
Lauren says it every time, so I have to pick up where he left off.
We'll be joined on site by Cubs pitcher Justin Steele. It's all brought to you by Bosch Power Tools and Phillips Chevrolet. So what happened yesterday?
Well, so the night before, see what happened was, the night before, which was Wednesday night, what day is it? Friday?
It's Friday.
I don't even know.
It's Friday.
I don't know.
That's
either.
Right.
I did an 8-hour shift yesterday.
Yeah,
trust me.
That was too... Like I said, I'm dealing with the hangover of your show with Rosner. You know what I'm talking about.
I got
about.
A good night's
It's like
sleep.
That fat eagle in the bender.
No, I got a good night's sleep.
That's
I'm
talking
home,
about.
I grilled myself a steak.
It's not like an alcohol hangover. It's different. It's a mental hangover. Creativity.
I think you went
to the dark place and then you're like, whoa, that was crazy. But it's like still there.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like when you wake up from a dream and it kind of sticks with you.
Yep. That's what's happening. Yep. And you're like, am I still in that crazy place at like 10 o'clock? And it was kind of there, but I feel like you're finally getting out of it now.
You're right.
So I completely misjudged a segment. I found out on Wednesday night I was going going to be hosting White Sox pre and post game the next like morning-ish. You know, I'm typically in at like 9:30, 10 for that type of show. The first pitch was at 1:10 yesterday for the game against the Rangers. Knowing the White Sox record, which going into the game was 31-103 at the time, I was like, oh, you know, what else can we show that's like baseball-ish but cool and fun and kind of breaks it up? Because that's what you try to do when your baseball team that you cover on a daily basis is struggling. You talk about other baseball teams and what's going on because your viewers are fans of baseball in general. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Shohei Ohtani's dog decoy, where I spent 2 hours trying to find out his name when he was with him for the MVP award. And nobody knew. So he had a really adorable first pitch where he clearly understood the assignment, did decoy. So we'll show that. And then there was this other, there was another dog who was just chewing the microphone the whole time. It looked like an interview, but the dog was using the mic as a chew toy. So I'm like, all right, dog videos, break it up a little bit. We'll see what happens. Little did I know what seasoned veteran Scott Pitsednik and the Hall of Famer Frank Thomas would say next. Frank is already laughing. This is a polarizing topic. It was Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night last night at Dodger Stadium. And Decoy, who everybody wanted to know that dog's name after he got MVP, threw out the first pitch. That was quite the performance for Decoy. Here's the bobblehead. The bobblehead is reportedly going for up to $14,000 on eBay. $14,000.
Excuse me?
Yes.
$14,000?
Yes.
Yeah, international shipping. And I love this, but Frank, you're a veteran. You're in the Hall of Fame. You're
listen to me.
To take you on.
This is one of the game's greatest players that we've ever seen. I can just think back in my days as back-to-back MVP. If I had my bobblehead then, I'd come to the ballpark with my dog and sit on the mound and let him run the pitch to me in front of the whole entire crowd and a winning ball club along the way, guess what? I would have got drilled right in the forearm the next pitch. For some reason, he goes out and hit a home run in the first at-bat after all of this. The game is changing. The game has become very nice. I'm telling you, that would have never happened in the 90s. I'm telling you right now, that would have never happened in the 90s. I don't know what you think, Scotty Pods, but the game is getting extremely nice. What do you think?
I didn't like it, Frank. I didn't like it. You said it. I'm going to leave it right there. Can we get a human to throw the first pitch out, please?
I'm just saying.
I want a human arm out there throwing the first
pitch. And the game's greatest player at this particular time, him and Aaron Judge, is like, you don't see that back in our day.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this out here, though. For example, we've had some first pitches that have been really unfortunate. Ball sails, hits people, that sort of thing. That's more disrespectful. People were trying to figure out Decoy's name for months.
I didn't call it disrespectful.
Okay.
I'm just saying one of the game's greatest players is putting on a show like this before the game, before he steps into that batter's box with the whole other team watching it. And Baltimore's in this race. Yeah. They need to beat the Dodgers last night. But they let him come out and hit a home run the first at bat. I'm like, what are you thinking?
Frank and it's I are ticking off a lot of dog lovers out there.
Oh, I love my dogs.
That's fine.
I love my dogs. I got two beautiful dogs, a bulldog and a great Pyrenees. But they're not going to be on the mound with me
Frank,
before the game. I can tell you that
place
right now.
For everything.
Yes.
Bobblehead Day is Saturday. I'm just saying.
Okay, bring him out. All right.
Yes. Okay. But what about this dog video? This is a little bit different. I felt this as a person who interviews people for a living. This is Dog Day at Coors Field in Colorado. And look at this interview. I don't think he's saying
Spilly.
That's a...
It's a chewy toy.
Yeah. That is Spilly's
Ryan
dog, Spielberg, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that. I was just obsessed with the fact that the dog was using the microphone.
Oh, I love dogs. Don't even go there. I love dogs. But I'm sorry, but if I'm locked in before a baseball game, he is not going to be on the mound with me throwing out the first pitch.
I don't know. The Dodgers are probably thinking if he hits a home run, steals two bases, hey, let's do this. Let's roll this over again.
Yeah, that's a good point. We might see Decoy before the end of the season.
Exactly. But I'm a big Shohei fan. He knows it. Everybody knows it. But I don't know what the game is coming to for that to happen before a game. A big game.
I feel like you made your case. You didn't.
Well, I mean, it's a big game. Baltimore has been falling down a little bit. They need to win. The Dodgers are still, you know, holding their own, and they need to win. I'm like, I just don't know what the game is coming to now.
And that's fair to point out the piece about, say, the Rangers trying to make the playoffs still. That AL wildcard spot, as you just mentioned, with Baltimore especially, that is hairy right now. And then consider the Mets, who are also still trying to stay alive. They come up next in that playoff race, and it's worth a thought. But I still love Decoy. I'm not sorry. We have more to
come. We love Decoy.
We do.
You don't. No, you don't look.
I think he was trying to say that a dog in general is disrespectful on the mound. There are pitchers who would always say, like, don't walk across my mound. Don't get on my mound. You know that, though. You know that.
We just need like a Farmio, and they're like, that dog would come out of the mound against me and be looking at the sky.
He comes up the next time, he's going to be looking at the sky.
There it is.
The delivery is just unparalleled.
We've got the...
Frank's dogs, by the way. The Great Pyrenees and the Bulldog.
Have you met him?
Their names are Lady and the Champ.
Aww.
Champ and Lady. I want him to bring them to his bobblehead day tomorrow so bad. Frank Thomas bobblehead day at Sox, by the way.
Score afternoons straight ahead here. Mark Grody and Rami Makhlouf are next.
Score afternoon on radio station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.